Now tonight, I want to look in chapter number 2, if the Lord will help us, and if you're willing and able to do so, I'll just read the opening 3 verses, and we'll stand in reverence reading God's Word, and share just a few thoughts with you this evening. Shouldn't take us too long. Really, there's one thought I really want to emphasize, and I'll get you to that here in just a moment. The Bible said in verse number 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, listen to what Ruth said. We heard what Naomi had to say in chapter number 1. Now listen to what Ruth has to say. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who is of the kindred of Elimelech. And I've been meditating on some truths here this week. And I want to lift a phrase here in just a moment, if the Lord will help us. And in fact, let me go ahead and give it to you and we'll lead into it. But I'm interested in the phrase where Ruth said, I shall find grace. And I want to preach on that tonight for just a moment. I shall find grace. I shall find grace. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we do come before the throne of grace. And Lord, we're asking tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing that in and of ourselves there dwelleth no good thing, no merit, Lord, nothing that we've attained unto that would be deserving of anything from your hand. But Lord, you said if we would ask, Lord, anything in the name of the Lord Jesus, your Son, that we'd have the petitions we desire of you. And so, Lord, tonight, we're not asking, Lord, to be greedy. We're not asking we might consume anything upon ourselves. Lord, we know tonight that, Lord, we need help, Lord, from you and from your word. Lord, these things we pondered on, Lord, here these last little while, Lord, I pray, Lord, would be a help and an encouragement, Lord, the people of God, as you give it to me and stirred my heart. Lord, help to use us tonight to be a blessing and, Lord, to stir somebody else's heart. Thank you for the grace of God, the good grace of God that, Lord, is so abundant and, Lord, plentiful in our life. Lord, we're glad tonight to be able to say, Lord, we have found it and that, Lord, we shall find it in days to come. I pray that truth would be communicated and that, Lord, you'd be pleased, Lord, to help your people tonight. Lord, there's some here tonight, Lord, never been saved. Lord, they don't know the grace of God, Lord, in salvation. Lord, I pray tonight they would find, Lord, what their soul really is looking for. Lord, they may have tried to find it in a lot of other things, and Lord, a lot of other pleasures that are in this world. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, they'd find it, Lord, in that that truly satisfies in the grace of God. And Lord, all that you do, we thank you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We dealt with the story of Naomi last service on the weekend. And I'm telling you what a story there is to tell and preach, looking at the book of Ruth in light of Naomi and what God was doing in her life. I believe the book of Ruth is really about the woman who bears the name of this book, and that is, it is the story of Ruth, the Moabitess. And we read about her in beginning in chapter number 1. She is introduced to you and I, and in her story in chapter number 1, we find her in the far country. That is, she was not an Israelitess. She was not one of the people of God. She was a Moabitess. She's born in Moab, grew up in Moab, lived the early days of her life in Moab. She was married in Moab, and we find her in chapter number 1. We're introduced to her in the far country. Something happened in her life. She's seen some things in Naomi, the child of God, is backslid as she was. She's seen enough God in Naomi that when Naomi finally is making that return trip back home, amen, Ruth said, I'm sick of the far country. I'm sick of everything down here in Moab. And the gods of my kinfolk ain't doing anything for me. And she makes that wondrous profession and confession of faith in the Lord God Jehovah of Israel, having said to Naomi, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And I believe she forsook all, not even maybe even understanding what she was going to get into. And but thank God, God brought her out of the far country. And when chapter number one ends, we find that she's in Bethlehem, Judah. And so in chapter one, we see her in the far country and what God did for her there. In chapter number two tonight, we'll see Ruth in the field, the very field of Boaz, and one who is going to be her kinsman redeemer. And she's going to labor there, and it's through the field of Boaz that God is going to sustain her and minister to her needs and to Naomi's needs. And what a wonderful picture we find of Ruth the Moabitess in the field. In chapter number three, she now has left the far country. She's enjoyed the field. But in chapter number three, we find Ruth in the floor as she is there at the very feet of Boaz. And the covenant that is made between the two of them is they. Amen. I believe he done fell in love with her in chapter number two. Amen. But in chapter number three, she's falling in love with him. And I'm telling you what a night she spent in the floor at the feet of Boaz. There was nothing immoral. There was nothing lascivious. There was nothing perverted. Amen. She just laid there, and thank God he said, amen, because you've been here worshiping at my feet, I will gladly do the part of the kinsman, amen, and take you unto myself. And that brings us into chapter number four. And we find in the story of Ruth, her story, we see she's in the far country, chapter one, and the field in chapter two, and the floor in chapter number three. And in chapter number four, we see Ruth in the family. Amen. And how Boaz took her unto himself, being willing even to mar his own inheritance. Amen. And to do that, then an even nearer kinsman was not willing to do. And how Boaz wedded her and took her to be his wife, and how that, amen, this Moabitess has gone from being a Gentile and an exile, one that's kind of around the things of God, but on the outside looking in, and how that she's brought into the family. I find it very interesting. In chapter one, she's called the Moabitess. In chapter two, she's called the Moabitess. In chapter three, she's called the Moabitess. Amen. In the early portions of chapter four, she's called the Moabitess. And she's wedded there in the end of chapter number four. The next time that we read about Ruth is in Matthew chapter number one. And there's no mention of her being from Moab ever again. Amen. Her past has been blotted out. Her past is not brought up. Amen. Where she was born, her first birth, is never mentioned again. Amen. You say, well, why would it be emphasized all through Ruth? And then in the New Testament, there's no mention of that. Amen. One preacher said it's because it's after the wedding. Amen. Amen. I'm glad once you get wedded to the Master, amen, there's no recollection, amen, of your past and what Jesus has saved us out of. Amen. That's shouting ground right there. Amen. My past, thank God, has been buried in my beloved. Amen. Well, I ain't preaching on that tonight. Amen. I'm interested in our text verses, a few thoughts to give consideration to. Amen. She's now been brought out of the far country. She's in Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. She has made the people of God her people. She's made the God of Naomi her God. She's now my friend dwelling in this very special place that God has visited and that God has blessed in abundant ways. Amen. But notice with me in our text, this first thought that I have is the condition of Ruth and Naomi. The condition of Ruth in this passage. Amen. You remember we preached on it on Sunday night that Naomi testified, amen, 10 years ago I went out full, but the Lord had brought me home again empty. And in that confession, as it bleeds over into chapter number 2, we understand the condition here is that, amen, Ruth is in a strange land as far as she's concerned, a new land, and they're in a time of a great need. Amen, they've come back with nothing. They've come back, amen, with barely the clothes that are on their back. Amen, they don't have great wealth. They don't have great means to, amen, to minister to their own hunger and their own daily provisions that they are going to need to sustain them. Amen, we see in the condition of Ruth a picture of the child of God in time of need. Amen, have you ever been in a time of need? Have you ever, amen, in your Christian journey, amen, since you've been saved and made the God of glory your God, have you ever found yourself in a condition, amen, simply described as a time of need? Amen, that is where she's at. Amen, life goes on. Sure, Brother Jack, they're in Bethlehem, Judah. And sure, they're living among the people of God. Amen, but there are still daily provisions that need to be met. Amen, their bellies are still going to get hungry. Amen, there's still going to be things they need from day to day. And we find in Ruth in chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3, amen, that there is a condition. She says to Naomi, amen, let me go into the field, amen, and glean. Why is she saying that? Amen, evidently she's hungry. Amen, evidently she understands we can't just sit around here. Amen, we've got needs. There is a condition. Amen, we need some provisions put upon the table. Amen, there are things we don't currently have around here. Amen, that we need around here. And she's testifying of the condition, amen, of her life, a condition of a time of need. Amen, I'll quickly point out this second thought. Amen, not only the condition of Ruth, but notice the consciousness of Ruth. Amen, she looks around and just kind of the way I picture it, Brother Mo, is, amen, her belly begins them grumblings and rumblings. Amen, growling, we would call it. Amen, she goes, boy, I'm awful hungry. Amen, and in her consciousness, amen, here's my thought. She knew that it was her responsibility to go and do what she could do for herself. Amen, she said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. Amen, in her consciousness, Brother Jess said, she's not going to sit around waiting on the government to send her a check. Amen, she ain't just going to sit around and twiddle her thumbs. Amen, bellyache about how hungry she is, and make other people feel bad about, amen, trying to meet that need in her life. Amen, she's willing to go and do what she can for herself. And I say tonight, when we're in time of need, and those conditions arise, we ought to be willing, amen, to go and do what we can for ourselves. Amen, it's your responsibility. It ain't the government's job to feed yourself. Amen. I'm not against assisting people in different ways that, amen, our society is set up to be able to minister to those. But, amen, Ruth took it upon herself and said, I'm going to do what I can. Amen. But notice women number three, and it gets us to our thought. Amen, is the confidence of Ruth. Amen, the confidence of Ruth. She has this condition, and in her consciousness, she says, I am responsible to do what I can for myself. Amen, but notice what she said. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Amen. In other words, the condition is real. Amen. You can listen to my belly and understand that. Amen. The time of need is real. And she's willing to do what she can. Amen. But she understands that at the end of the day, amen, then she must have faith that there is grace. Amen, that awaits for her there in the field. Amen, I wrote it down this way. She had faith, amen, that she would find grace. Amen, her confidence is not in herself. Amen, her confidence is not in that she's been to programs to learn how to glean. Amen, her confidence is not in the map that'll get her to the field. Brother Mike, I find here she plainly declares, and I hear a sense of confidence, I shall find grace. Amen. I need food and I need grace. And, amen. She, amen, is confident when she walks out the door that day. Amen. Saying, I shall find grace. Amen. And I want to say tonight, I'm glad the child of God. Amen. In the world in which we live, in the generation in which we live, in the journey in which we're traveling. Amen. That even when conditions of time of need arise in our life, amen, I'm glad we can bank in the Lord God of glory. Amen. And we can march forward and declare tonight, I shall find grace. Amen. You say, but preacher, it don't look like you got much. Amen. But I shall find grace. Amen. You say, well, how does she know she's going to find grace? Amen. I believe tonight she is confident of finding grace in the field. Amen. Because she had done found grace in the far country. Amen. I believe she knew it was grace that brought her out of Moab. It was grace that severed her from all her past idols. It was grace that had changed the course and direction. And her life was on in Moab. And grace didn't bring her out of the far country to let her starve to death in the field. Amen. She said, I found grace before. I shall find grace again. Amen. And can I remind you tonight, we serve a God that, amen, found us one day wherever you were in sin, and in whatever it was that you were doing, and by grace He lifted you out. Amen. By grace He changed your life. Amen. By grace you walked in tonight. Amen. Saved and on your way to glory. I don't know what, my friend, you left at the house. Amen. I don't know what you faced today or this week or in recent months. Amen. But can I just, amen, can I build your confidence tonight? Amen. In the Word of God, through the Word of God, by the Scripture. Amen. Oh, child of God, mark it down. You can boldly say, I shall find grace. Amen. Grace found you. Amen. In Moab. And thank God you're going to find grace in the field and in the journey you're on tonight. And so we are preaching tonight on I shall find grace. Let me give you a few things about this grace. And by the way, she said, I shall find grace in verse number 2. Amen. She said, I shall find grace when. Amen. She's just sitting in the house with Naomi. Amen. You say, preacher, did she find it? Amen. You'll find out later on in chapter number 2. Amen. She found exactly what she said she'd find it. Amen. And it was bigger and better and more beautiful, amen, than she ever thought that it'd be when she declared it in verse 2. I shall find grace. Amen. Do y'all see the confidence? Do y'all see the faith that she has? Amen. She don't know how it's going to happen. She don't know where it's going to happen. She don't know when it's going to take place. Amen. But she says, amen, without batting an eye, I shall find grace. Amen. And I'm glad she did. And so let's, amen, let's go on a little journey through chapter number 2 real quick. And the first point's the main point. I'll preach it out and I'll just mention it. Amen. The other 22 that I got wrote down. All right. Amen. Watch it now. Number one. Amen. I want to say about this grace that she found. Amen. It was grace that was planned. It was grace that was planned. Amen. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Notice with me in verse number 2 again. Amen. Notice carefully what she said. She said, let me now go to the field. And here's the phrase I want you to look at. And glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Amen. Now, Brother Jack, she didn't say, let me go to a field and carry a bunch of seed and plant a crop and water some crops. And then down the road, maybe there'll be a harvest day that is to come. Oh, no, friend, she said, let me go now into the field and glean ears of corn. Amen. In other words, there had already been a planting that had taken place. There had already been a care for the seed and for the field. And my friend, it had already been growing for some time now. Amen. Long before Ruth ever arrived in Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. Long before her belly ever made the first rumble. Amen. Long before her eyes ever looked around and said, what in the world are we going to eat today? Amen. Months before she arrived at that condition, amen, there was some grace being planted in a field. Amen. And I'm glad tonight when it comes to grace. Amen. And I ain't no Calvinist tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. Amen. This grace we've been finding since we've been saved. Amen. It is God's amazing grace that is planned. Amen. She didn't find grace on accident. Amen. She didn't find grace because she is lucky. Oh no, friends. Somebody had been planting a row. Amen. Somebody had been sowing some seed. Amen. Somebody, amen, had been taking great care of that field before she ever arrived in this place. Amen. Oh, listen now. Amen. That field had been planted and that field had been growing. Amen. And when she said, I shall find grace. Amen. Little did she know that field was waiting. Amen. For when she would need it the most. Amen. Can I tell, I'm about to have a spell. Amen. I ain't got much voice or much amen energy tonight, but I feel like I could preach right here. Brother A.L., amen. Grace that is planned. Amen. Boaz planted that field before she ever showed up. Amen. Ain't you glad tonight when it comes to our God and the grace that He gives? Amen. When I have a need, I ain't got to wait on grace. Amen. Oh, every time I've ever found grace. Amen. You know what I found? Amen. It was grace that was waiting on me. Hey, man, I ain't ever had to wait on grace. Hey, man, grace, you say, preacher, what are you going to do if you have a time of need on the morrow? Hey, man, all I can tell you is I shall find grace. How can we be so confident of that? Hey, man, because I've lived long enough to know, hey, man, every day of my life there is grace that is waiting on me. Hey, man, all grace in it. Do you understand tonight? Hey, man, before you ever got a hungry belly, and before the bills ever rolled in, and before the bad doctor's report was ever given, hey, man, and before, my friend, you face what you're feeling tonight, hey, man, grace knew your journey, yeah, and grace knew where you'd wind up, yeah. Hey, man, I'm glad, yeah. Hey, man, I can tell you tonight, hey, man, we shall find grace, because this grace is planned. Planned grace. Hey, man, I get shocked and stumped and stupefied. Hey, man, at times with things that, hey, man, seem to come at me out of the blue. I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't expecting it. Hey, man, I wasn't looking for it. Hey, man, and some things surprise us. Hey, man, but you ain't ever had a condition. You've never had a time of need that, hey, man, caught the grace of God by surprise. Amen. If I can illustrate it in the Word of God, amen. Amen. Abraham is taking Isaac up. You talk about a sad condition, buddy. He's getting ready to kill his own son. Amen. But, amen, while he's walking up, amen, one side of the mountain, grace is leading a ram up the other side. Hey, amen, he got there. Listen, that was no accident. Amen, you can't plan that out. You can't Google how to make that happen. Amen, at the very moment he raised the knife to kill his own son, amen, the angel stayed his hand. And there in a thicket was a ram caught in his horns. How do you explain that? Amen, it's grace that was planned. Amen. And can I tell you, God sees. Amen. God sees tomorrow just as clear as He can see today. Amen. He sees yesterday and today and tomorrow. Amen. All with 20/20 vision. Amen. He doesn't miss a detail. Hey, He knows where you've been, where you are, and where you're going to be. Amen. And when you get in your time of need, amen, I'm glad to tell you there is grace that has been planned for you. Amen. Amen. Grace. We ain't waiting on grace. Grace is waiting on us.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And I tell you something else you find. Amen. When you find grace, what you really find out is it's grace that found you. I shall find grace. How can you be so confident of that? Because I know, amen, before I die of starvation, amen, before I die broke, amen, before I am consumed in my condition, amen, that grace will be there to find you and to find me. Amen, the songwriter had it right. Amen, 'tis grace has kept me safe thus far, and grace shall lead me home. Amen, I'm telling you tonight, I shall find grace, and it'll be grace that has been planned. Amen, so don't worry about whatever it is you're worrying about. That's easy to say, ain't it? Preacher, you can preach that all day long. You might ought to live it yourself. And I know I'm a preaching to myself tonight. Amen. Quit worrying about it. Amen. Ruth said, I'm going to do what I can. And other than that, amen, I'm banking on the fact I shall find grace. Amen. Do your human best, but I'd be dependent upon grace that is planned for you. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, don't miss it now, and find grace to help in time of need. You know, God don't listen. God Amen. Don't have to work up a plan. He's already got one. God ain't got to scratch His head in your time of need. And when you need help, amen, He already saw it coming and He sent grace. Amen, planned grace. I don't know if this is helping anybody, but amen, He'll have planned out grace. Amen, that He's been working all along before you showed up where you are today. Amen, God was making sure you'd have what you need. Grace that was planned. Let me say a word. That's the main, that's what I've been thinking on. That's my meditation the last few days. Amen. God, You know what I needed before I ever got here. Lord, You know it's done been planted. You've been growing exactly what I need. You've been watering it just waiting for my time of great need. Amen. Grace that was planned. Amen. Let me say a word or two about three or four other things. It was grace, not only that was planned, but it was grace that was personal. Don't miss what she said now. She said, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn. Amen. Now watch it. She said, I shall find grace. You say, but she's a Moabitess. She don't even really belong there. She's got a past. But my friend, when you talk about grace, grace, amen, cancels out the past. Amen, grace cancels out. Amen, what you think you are and everybody else thinks you are. Amen, and she said, hey, amen, I know somewhere out there I shall find grace. Amen. It was grace that was personal. I ain't talking about your mom and daddy finding grace. I ain't talking about your buddies finding grace. I'm talking about if it ever dawns on you tonight, amen, then grace is personal. Amen. Oh, then grace would be personal to everybody here tonight. Amen. That you would understand that you can. Amen. On the Word of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ declare. Amen. Mom and Daddy may find it and others in the church may find it, but I shall find grace. That's when your Christian journey begins to be personal. Nothing's real till it's personal. See, some of y'all think this thing's a figment of our imagination. You think it's a fairy tale. You think it's made up. Amen. But what you don't understand is grace has never been personal to you like it's been to me. And it is real. And it's real because it's personal. It's real because grace found me and brought me out and changed me one day. Amen. Changed my mind, changed my heart, changed my direction, changed my eternity. Amen. It's got me believing things I never used to believe in. Amen. How can that be? Because, amen, I found grace one day. Grace that is personal. Is grace personal to you? Is grace personal to you? I shall find grace. You say, preacher, did she find it? Well, amen. The Bible said her hap was delight upon the field of Boaz. And ain't it amazing? She got the field of Boaz the same day Boaz said, you know what? For some reason, I think I need to go visit my field and my servants today. And so he gets up and leaves all the other business behind it. And Brother A.L., he makes his way to the field. And as soon as he steps in the field, he sees somebody he ain't ever seen before. He said, whose damsel is this? They said, why, that's Ruth the Moabitess. Amen. The Moabitess that came back out of the country of Moab with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Amen. And they, amen. Oh, he had seen her across the field. Amen. He was aware of her need. He was aware of her condition. Amen. He knew, my friend, they didn't have anything. Amen. He knew, my friend, that her belly was hungry. Amen. He knew that she would die. Amen. If she was not allowed to glean in that field and find grace. So what does he do? He goes and sits down, has a one-on-one conversation. I'm going to tell you, grace got real good and personal.
Amen.
When he with his, amen, I don't know what color his eyes were, amen. Amen, whatever color they were, them big old Jewish eyes looked down into her eyes. Amen, her heart began to do something like this. Amen, and she even said, you spoke kindly to me. You have spoken friendly to me. Amen, I'm just a nobody. I don't deserve anything. Amen, and I found favor in thy sight. In verse 13, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens, saith. Amen. She said, I know I don't deserve anything from you. I don't look like the rest of the crowd. I don't know all y'all's custom. I don't know exactly how it is. I'm supposed to be. All I am is what I am. And yet you have favored me. Amen. You know what she's saying? She said, I knew I'd find grace today. I found it to be personal. The fact that Jesus would have anything to do with us at all shows me that grace is very personal.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've been saved a long time. I ain't nothing like what I used to be. Amen. Don't you ever forget you don't deserve grace. Jesus is the one that makes it personal and real. Grace that was personal. Grace, amen. Grace that was plenty. Boy, I need to preach all this. I may come back to this sometime. Grace that was plenty. Boaz said, Miss Ruth, you may not be like the rest of this crowd, but that's all right. Here in just a minute, we're going to have a lunch break. When we have a lunch break, I don't want you eating over off by yourself. You just come on up here around where all the other crowd is. Hey, man, I don't know if as the dinner bell went off, Brother Jack, Brother Joe, the alarm was sounded some way and they all began together. Amen, and there's Boaz in the midst of all his servants and she's making her way, amen, to wherever it is they're eating. I can see him, amen, wave at her as she's coming in the building and says, come over here and sit by me. The Bible said in verse number 14, Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. Now she's got to be close to him because of what the Bible said. And he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. In other words, he sat there and hand fed her. What do you call that? I call that grace. Amen. And he didn't just give her a little bit. Amen. He kept reaching her cord. Amen. Have you had enough? Are you full yet? Amen. And I believe by the time she finished eating whatever the last handful was, at Brother Riley, he had another handful coming her direction. Amen. And she ate, the Bible said, amen, until she was sufficed. Say, what's that mean? That means she ate till she was full and satisfied.
Amen.
Amen. When he got done giving her grace, she went, oh, I'm full.
Amen.
Amen. And if that wasn't enough, when she left and went back, amen, in the field, he called his servants over and said, y'all see that girl right there? Don't you run her out of the field? Don't you chase her off? Amen. Don't you tell her she's had enough. In fact, what I want you to do every now and then, look over your shoulder. And when you see the path she's on, amen, he said, just throw out some handfuls of purpose. Amen. And let her glean till her heart is content. Amen. Let her fill as many bags as she can fill. Amen. And buddy, I'm telling you, she gleaned all day. Amen. She had more shankfuls than anybody. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because grace was plenty. Amen. She said, I shall find grace. And she found it to be plenty. She beat out the corn. Amen. She parched it that day. And the Bible said she filled, amen, an ephah of barley. Yeah. Amen. Now you say, is that a lot? Amen. Well, when she got home, amen, Naomi said, where in the world did you get all that barley at? That's enough for us to eat tonight and tomorrow, and who knows how long it's going to last. You know what Naomi said? You told me you'd find grace and you found it, Ed. Amen. It was plenteous grace. It was more than enough grace. And I say tonight, I'm glad the grace we find from the Lord Jesus is plenty. Number four, grace it was preserving. Amen. Verse 18 said, and she took it up and went in the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she wrought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. You know what? You know what this grace is doing? It is preserving Ruth, and then it's beginning now to preserve everybody that is around Ruth. You know what I've learned about the grace of God? I shall find grace. Grace is preserving. It'll suffice you. That word means literally sustain or to satisfy. Amen. Grace has sustained us and preserved us. You're not here tonight because you're some mighty person. You're here tonight because the Lord Jesus and His grace has let you find it along the way, and it has preserved you where you are. Number five, and I'm done. Grace that was planned, personal, plenty, preserving. But according to verse 20, it was grace that was praiseworthy. Amen. Yes, sir. Naomi got caught up in all of it. She said, where'd you find this? She said, all I know is I took off. I told you I'd go glean in a field, and I got in this field. I met the master of the field. His name was Boaz. Naomi said, blessed be he of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let me read it to you the way the Bible said. Naomi said it in verse 20. Blessed be he of the Lord who had not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kin. She said in verse number 19, where shall glean today? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. You know what Naomi said? All that grace you found today, somebody ought to be blessing the one who gave all that to you. And I tell you tonight, and I know we're tired on a Wednesday. I'm tired and you're tired and we're about to get out of here. But can I remind you tonight, the one who's been giving us grace, the grace he gives is praiseworthy. Somebody ought to bless his name. You had any grace? Have you ever found any grace? Are you finding grace to be planned in your life? Are you finding grace to be personal in your life? Are you finding grace to be plenty in your life? Have you found the grace of God to be preserving? Then don't forget to praise the one who's been raining down grace upon your life. Somebody ought to bless him tonight. It's the last time you thanked him for the grace he let you find. It's the last time in your time of need grace helped and sustained you and propped you up and brought you through. You got on your knees and said, Lord, I just want to praise you for the grace you've let me find. Amen. What if God quit giving the grace that we had quit praising him for? Oh, we'd miss it then. Sometimes we take it for granted. That's why Naomi said to Ruth in the end of that chapter, She said, I'm going to tell you something, sweetheart. Don't you go in anybody else's field. After how good he was to you today, don't you dare go off to somebody else's field. What he has done for you is praiseworthy. It is life worthy. It is not just praise of lips, but praise of life. Do not go into any other field.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm telling you tonight, he is worthy of praise tonight, and the grace that he has given is praiseworthy. Tell him. Lip it and live it. Amen. Because you don't deserve nothing he's done for you. Amen. I shall find grace. Y'all will probably hear that message again. I just want to really give you the first point, but I feel good about them other four. I believe there's some good preaching in that. Amen. I shall find grace.